Well, this morning I'm excited. I get to actually sit and listen like many of you guys today. We've got a special guest speaker here, and as I talked about the Tuesday mornings that I go and pray, many of you have heard me talk about that for years now, going and praying with pastors in our community. Our speaker is one that would often come and we would pray together. And I love this guy. I love his heart. And one of the cool things about that prayer time is we got to watch and even pray with him as he was in the middle of a journey that God was taking him through. And I'm not going to say a lot about that because I know he's going to share about that journey. I don't want to spoil anything with that. But just to hear his heart, it is so much what you know my heart is about. The heart of following Jesus. The heart of being willing to say, God, I will do whatever you tell me to do, even if it means giving up some things. Even if it means going in a different direction than what I've been going. And that's why I love this guy's heart. I don't want to say things, but he is following Jesus. Him and his family are following Jesus. They're trusting in him and walking in obedience and moving forward. And that's what's amazing. And so I'm excited to have him come and share. Will you please welcome Jerry Mullins as he comes to share with us?
Okay, am I on? Okay. Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really like your announcements. It's great. Well, I mean, it's so cool to hear that you guys are about the kingdom, the church, and not a church. Because I mean, that's what's important. We're all in this together, aren't we? And I love seeing baptism because you know if you're baptizing people, that means you're alive. Okay. That's part of our faith journey, so that's really cool. And the wrap thing, I was actually more excited when I thought it was wrap than wrapping gifts, because the wrapping gifts thing, now my wife's good at that, but I'm not saying I'm good at the other. My wife makes fun of me, but I do like to wrap, so that would have been cool to be part of that. Real quick, I'd like to say thank you, Pastor Darren, because I'll tell you, this journey for us has just been crazy. And as we've been getting ready for this journey that God's been taking us on, we've been sharing with a lot of people. And Pastor Darren's one of those people that embraced us. And almost everybody we've talked to said, yeah, this is really cool. We love what you're doing. This is awesome. But at the same time, they were like, whoa, kind of staying back because, you know, it's almost like some things you do, it's almost like this is one of those things like stepping out of the box is what I would say. And sometimes when you step out of the box, people are like, that's cool, but I'm just going to wait and see what happens. And so we haven't been embraced by everybody. It's not a bad thing. It's just it's tough because, I mean, who wants to be part of something that just might fail? It's like they, people just don't. And, you know, anything that we do when we step out in faith, there's that possibility for failure. And so I just want to thank you. Thank you for allowing me to speak. And if you're like, well, I didn't allow you, well, thank you for not leaving. That's good enough. I'll take that. So anyhow, real quick, I want to share our ministry. Then I have a message that the Lord laid on my heart for you. And the name of our ministry is Zaofit. And you can see up here, Zao, the word comes from, the meaning of the word, it's a Greek meaning, Greek word meaning endless in the kingdom of God, to be full of vigor, strong, efficient, active, powerful, to live. And man, how this came about is as God was building this in our mind, he was doing things, and we're going to share about that. I was studying to share a message with the youth group. I used to be a youth pastor. My wife and I have been youth pastors for 17 years, 17 plus actually years. And I was, God was doing all this stuff in our life, and I was studying, and I came across this word Zao, and I'm like, man, that's a powerful word. We were trying to think of, what are we going to call this ministry? It's a holistic health ministry. And what do we call it? And this word from studying to for this message popped out, and I said, this is it. And then we developed kind of this Zaofit, our name, based on that. But real quick, whenever I say, this is the cool thing, is whenever God gives you something that's just like so crazy and so out of the box, you're like, is this really something that can happen? He always provides everything that we need. And we were thinking, wow, what kind of ministry, how do we describe this ministry? Because it's different. It's different than most ministries because we're focusing on more than just one aspect of who we are. And so we said holistic. And when we said that, a lot of people were like, whoa, wait a second. Is this some kind of New Age thing? And so what we did is define it. This is how we define holistic so you know what we're about. Holistic health is defined like this. God, our Creator, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three distinct persons, yet work in perfect harmony as one. We were created with a body, mind, and soul. And we don't believe it's by chance. We believe that we were created with the body, mind, and soul to work in health and harmony to create a person that is active, powerful, effective in advancing the kingdom of God. So when one area of our life is lacking in health, it affects the other areas. So when we refer to holistic health, we refer to the whole of who we are as created by God, so that you kind of give an idea of the ministry that God's given us. So what I want to do is, I want to share a little bit about how we got to where we are right now. Like I said, we were in ministry, we've been ministry just like you are, because we're Christians. But we were in a position of youth pastors for over 17 years. And the time that we were in this youth ministry position, we noticed that our health was not getting better. Actually, it was deteriorating. And the reason why is because our schedule, and this is the thing, you guys probably understand this, is pastors' schedules are just crazy. They are. It's just a crazy schedule. It's so much different. It's not a set hours. I mean, we're doing things in all different times of nights. And as a youth pastor, all-nighters are more of a thing than we would like them to be, I can be honest with you. But it's part of that. And so it's late nights, fast food, pizza, pop, crazy things, the emotional stress, everything in that. And we were like, We were feeling it. Our energy level was going down as we were getting, and something needed to happen. So we decided we need to make some changes. And this is kind of the start. And it started with my wife. But real quick, before we go on there, is the title of the message is Audacious Faith. And I like that word, audacious. I remember when I was a kid, I thought it was something negative, because whenever you did something that was like bold and daring or like it was different, people would say, You have the audacity. It was like something that was like negative. Well, it's not really a negative word. It's really a positive word. And audacious is it means extremely bold or daring, recklessly brave, fearless, extremely original, without restriction to prior ideas. I love those last two, extremely original, and without restriction of prior ideas. Isn't that awesome? So what is that's audacious. So what is audacious faith? It's an attitude and a set of actions that are deeply rooted and required by our conviction that all things are possible with God. Man, is that not, I mean, that right there just excites me. And that is what it is we, if we get to that point where we realize all things, not just some things, not just most things, but all things are possible with God. So I want to talk about a man that got this idea. He got it, and this was thousands of years ago, and he got this idea that all things are possible with God. And his name's Joshua, and we're going to be reading out of Joshua chapter 10. I'm going to share a little bit of the story, and then we're going to come back to it, and I'm going to read a little bit later. But I want to share a little bit about Joshua. Okay, so now what's happened is he's taken over a bunch of cities. We know one is Jericho. That's probably the most famous one that I can think of. Remember, the walls of Jericho fell. But he did some phenomenal things, and some things that were like impossible with who he had and the situation he was facing. But he won. He overcame, and that was with God's help. Well, this intimidated the king of Jerusalem, because he's like, whoa, wait a second. He's already won all these battles. He's winning these battles. And not only that, but the Gibeonites have made peace with them, and now they're friends with him. So now this other large city because obviously they were wise. They said, I don't want to go against Israel. I don't want to go against Joshua because they're winning. They're beating everyone. Their enemies are falling. And so they make peace with them. And so Adoni-Zedek, the king of Jerusalem, says, okay, I'm going to get my other king friends together and we're going to go attack the Gibeonites and we're going to destroy them, because that'll kind of be a demoralizing thing for Joshua. So he calls these other four other kings together. So these five kings go to attack the Gibeonites, and the king of the Gibeonites says, wait a second, Joshua, you need to help us, because now we have four kings attacking us because we're with you. We need your help. Come help us. And so Joshua's like, he gets his army together, and then the Lord says to him, he says, the Lord tells Joshua, don't be afraid, not a single one will stand before you. So I think about it, and it says here, Joshua goes, but this is what the Lord says to him. Now, I don't know if the Lord was audible or if he said it in his heart, but however, the Lord relayed this message to Joshua, and I think the Lord said this for a purpose. We know it says Joshua will go, but he must have been fearful of this journey, because God came in and said, hey, Joshua, don't worry, I got this. And so Joshua gathers up his army and he goes, and then God confuses his enemy, and all of a sudden there's this huge battle. Now it says they leave late at night so that they can get there early in the morning, so that they have this long battle. So they're battling all day. They're taking them out because all the enemies are confused, and they're wiping them out. So they start to flee. The enemy starts to flee because they're getting beat. And so as they're fleeing, God's throwing I don't know if he's throwing, he probably could. The hailstone is coming down and killing a bunch of them too. So they're just getting defeated bad. And so all this is happening. Well, as this is happening, it's been going all day, and we don't know what time it is, but we know there's something special that happened. Not only did Joshua show his faith in God all through this journey, going through this, and God was defeating him, but as the journey got late, even though the hailstone were falling on them, there were some that were obviously escaping, which is told a little bit later. But before I go into the story a little bit more, I want to kind of share our story, and then I'll read the scripture and we'll move on. So I know it's a little bit different. So that's kind of the basis of what Joshua was going through. And so I'm going to go back about 5 years for us. 5 years ago, as I shared, we were going through this time where we realized something needed to change. I mean, obviously, one of the reasons why I knew, I was like, no more all-nighters, that's it. We're not doing all-nighters anymore because I just can't handle them. And I usually fell asleep, and my wife had to take care of a lot of things that, because she didn't fall asleep, because, you know, they're like that sometimes. Our wives are like, we'll take care of it when you slack off. So that's what she used to do. But I was like, okay, no more all-nighters. Can't handle it no more. I'm getting too old. But anyway, so Julie felt this kind of like thing, kind of like a call to start running again. I know it sounds weird, but she ran in high school. She ran cross country and state, and she actually and track and went to state, was a pretty good runner. So she decided that she wanted to run. Well, she had some problems. So it was kind of like a journey for her, and God had to do some things in her life for her to be able to run. But she started running, and I wanted to start running too. Now the weird thing is, I hated to run. I really did. People freak out when I talk about running. They're like, I hate running. I go, me too. Used to, but it was true. I did. But I really wanted to get in shape. And what I learned is the fastest way to get into shape is run. I'm like, run? Yeah. You burn more calories running than you do other things. And it's just a fast way. So I'm like, okay, I can run with Julie. I can get in shape. I really don't like it, but that's okay. Well, the problem was I had a bad knee, my right knee. And I think we have a picture up here that this right here, whenever I played any sports, and I love sports, don't get me wrong, I love sports. I played football all through school, baseball, basketball later on. I didn't play in school, but I loved basketball. And as I got older, I played softball. I always stick out my tongue when I pitch. I don't know why. But I developed this knee knee problem because I just played with kind of, I didn't play real smart, let's just put it that way. I played hard but not smart, and I had a really, my knee was messed up, and so I had this huge brace with the metal on the side just so I could play different sports. Well, so when I tried to run, it didn't go real well. So we went out, I had my brace on, got a pair of shoes, we got about a half mile in, and I told Julie, I just can't run anymore. I just can't, I mean, it was painful from the beginning, but now it's gotten to the point where I can't run. So she's like, oh man, that's a bummer, and she keeps going, so I walk home. So yeah, it was kind of, it's kind of that thing, sorry you can't do that, I'm going to keep going. So our first run together didn't go well. We got a little less than a half mile, and it just went south. So that was, I want to talk about some lessons, and this is the first lesson that I learned from this. And you know, I didn't learn right at the time. What I had to do is after this journey, I went and I said, Lord, these are some things. Thank you for teaching these. But lesson number one is when God has something new for us, on our own we will fail, but He will see us through if we trust in Him. God has something for each one of us. And you know what? By our own, put it this way, if whatever you think that God has for you, if you can do it on your own, I can tell you that's not what God has for you. Just telling you how it is. If it's too big for us, it's not God. Or if it's not too big for us, it's not God. And so He had something for me with this running, but the reality is I was going to need Him. I didn't know how yet, but I was going to need Him. So that's the first lesson I learned. I tried several times after that to run. I even bought some better shoes to run in because I was told that's one of the things you need to do. You need to get a good pair of shoes, same results every time. I could actually, we had a run treadmill at the time, and I could run on the treadmill for a few miles, and I was okay. It made a big difference, but I could not run outside. So we'll fast forward a few months to January. 5 years ago, this January is what it would be. Julie and I went to a pastor's conference on the coast, and the first night they were encouraging pastors, saying, man, I know that you might be going through a rough time, whatever it is, we want to encourage you to come up, and we want to pray for you and encourage you. And I thought, you know what, I want my knee to be healed, and I believe in healing. So I went up front to be prayed for, and I was like, you know, I don't really need encouragement. Not that we don't need that, but that's not what I really need. Is I'd like you to pray for my knee. I want God to heal my knee. And He's like, oh, hey, no problem. So I went up front, and He healed for my knee. And I got, or He prayed for my knee. And I got back where Julie was sitting, and I said, you know what? God healed my knee. She goes, okay. And I was like, I don't feel anything. I just, there's something that, I just feel that God healed my knee. I didn't feel anything at all. Check this out. Lesson number two. God's healing is not based on how we feel when we are prayed for. This is huge. Our healing is based on who He is, not how we feel. And I think that was really a huge lesson for me because I didn't feel anything at all. There was no warm. I've heard people getting healed and there's this warm feeling and all these things are like, I'm healed. And I'm like, I just feel that God healed me. So this is kind of cool. So Julie was leading this running group because now she'd already been running for almost a year now regularly. And the people that were leading the conference knew about this. They're like, you know, would you lead like a running group tomorrow? And she's like, yeah, I'd love to do that. And I was like, I want to go. So she was leading this. So earlier that day, before the conference actually started, we went to a Nike outlet. And I was like, I'm going to go and I'm just going to buy a nice pair of running shoes. We went and we found a pair of shoes that were like 60% off. And I got my first pair of real running shoes. And we picked them up and I was like, yes, this is awesome. We got there and I thought, this is cool. So I bought this pair of running shoes by faith because I really couldn't run. I hadn't even been prayed for yet. And it was lesson number three. We need to prepare for the miracle even before it happens. Think about that. Have you ever needed a miracle, and you were just like, man, I just hope it happens? Or did you say, you know what, I believe you for this miracle. I believe you, and I'm going to trust you for it now. I'm going to prepare for it right now. And you know what, I didn't know at the time, but that's what I was doing. And I think that had a huge part of this. So the next morning, I got up, laced up my shoes, and set out with her and the rest of the people, and we started running. And about a mile in, I started feeling a little bit of pain in my knee. And I'm thinking, you know what? The pain's here, but it's bearable. And I couldn't even get a half mile before. So we just kept on going. I made the 3 miles. I had actually run 3 miles. My knee was in pain. It was in pain. But I had made it. And that was the important thing, is I was learning something. I was learning this whole idea of God's healing. At least for me, it was. I mean, I know it happens differently. But for me, I made it. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. It was like a confirmation. The problem was that I still found running boring and pointless. Besides, maybe I can get a little bit like healthier, burn some calories and maybe get in better shape, but I didn't like it. I'm like, man, I used to have to do this when I got in trouble playing football, and now I'm doing it like just to do it. Why do you do that? And it really was. It was hard for me. And this is a lesson that I learned from this, and it's so awesome. Lesson 4, when our faith as Christians is all about going to heaven or staying out of hell, it's going to be unfulfilling and boring. When we don't get it, because, you know, we have some people that are like, oh yeah, if I say this prayer, I don't have to go to hell, or I can go to heaven, and that's all it is. And it never goes deeper than that. And you don't get that relationship with Jesus. That relationship with the Lord has not become the center focus. It's going to be boring. How do you make it? You can't. At least I don't think you can. I've come to believe people, this is from my running experience, if you run simply to lose weight or just stay in shape, you'll never get beyond that. You'll eventually quit. Because that was where I was, which really, really showed, because I was so consistently inconsistent in my running after that. I would run a mile sometimes, and then I wouldn't run for a long time. And I'm like, I know I need to get out, so I would do it. And so I did that stuff. Well, that all changed June 2nd, 2013. I went to my wife's second marathon. She'd run Portland, and now she was going to run one with a friend. She was training with this friend, and they had a great time. And they just became best friends. And so they were training for this marathon together, and I went to watch her at this marathon. So we went, watched her take off with her and her friend, went to mile 5 and watched them go by. And then we ran over and took a bus. You know a marathon's far if you have to take a bus to watch people. So We grabbed this bus and went to mile 16, and I'm like, I'll see her at mile 16, and then I'll take a bus back so I can watch her finish. So it was really kind of cool to be able to go all these places and do this. Get to mile 16, and she comes by, and she just does not look good. I'm like, oh my goodness. So I'm like, hon, do you want me to run with you? She goes, that would be awesome. So I started running with her. And man, it was the most awesome experience that I've ever had. We started running, we started talking, and as we got to about mile 21, I'm like encouraging her and running with her, and we're just having this time of like it wasn't so much about the miles anymore. It was more about the connection and doing it together and all this stuff, and it was just phenomenal. So we went there, and she ended up finishing with about a half hour. I don't know, it might have been an hour. Half hour personal record from her last time she ran. And it was afterwards, it's just something in me just like, this is awesome. What was I thinking? I don't know what it was. I don't know how it did it. But this is the lesson that I learned from this. I gained a certain respect from running during that hour and a half with my super amazing wife. But here's the lesson. When your faith is based on a relationship with Jesus, instead of being boring and pointless, it's wonderful and purposeful. And that's what I learned, is this thing, it wasn't just about running. There was so much more to it. Now, running might not be something you ever do, but can take the spiritual aspect. When you realize that the relationship with God is what's important, Christianity becomes so interesting. It's not boring. If someone has to convince you to follow the Lord, then you just haven't got that relationship with Christ yet. Because that's what makes it exciting, not anything. It's just, that's what it is. So the next week, I started running with a whole new perspective. And with the perspective and knowledge that God had made this possible for me to run. So he healed my knee, and I had a whole new perspective, so I took off. And from that point, I was constantly running 15 to 20 miles a week. I went from maybe running 5 or 6 to 8 to 10 to 15 or 20 miles every week. And you know what? It was so cool because I was learning myself. I was learning more about myself. And I was learning, you know what? I used to think this is a boring. Now it became, this was the most difficult sport that I had ever done because I was pushing myself harder than I've ever pushed myself, and I was learning so much about it. And you know what's so cool is I would run to think. I would run because I wanted to get rid of the busyness of everything that was going on. I enjoyed running because we live in Oregon. I mean, Dallas is even one of the most beautiful cities. I love running around. I mean, we got so many just God stuff around us. It's so cool. It hasn't been depleted by all the man stuff, but they're just so. It was so awesome. I would even come up with some of my most creative lessons while I was running. I just, Lord, thank you. And I'm like, I got to get home and I got to write this down. It was just so awesome. Slowly, Julie and I started running together more and more. And in November of last year, I mean, because I was talking constantly, you know, it'd be so cool. God healed my knee if I could run a marathon, wouldn't it? I want to run a marathon like you. And she's like, yeah, whatever. Why do you keep talking about it? I'm like, because I'm kind of afraid to run a marathon. I mean, that's a lot of miles. I ran 10 with you, and that was like as long as I've ever run, and that's not the same. So anyways, on my birthday, get this, on my birthday, well, guess what she gets me? Registration for a marathon. Here's your, I'm like, really? That's my birthday present? Run 26.2 miles? What kind of birthday present is that? So in January of 2013, Julie and I started training together to run Newport Marathon together. So we trained. It was so awesome. So we started running together. Check this out. So in January last year, Julie and I started running together, and we had the most amazing connection and growth as a couple. And as individuals, it was phenomenal. And this is lesson number 6. Running the race with others encourages our faith and draws us close to one another. Make sure you're running the race with other people. Man, that's why coming together on Sunday morning is so good. It's not because we have to write it off on, I've attended church this week. It's because we're coming together and we're doing life together. It encourages our faith and draws us close to one another. So during our training, there were times where we were out on longer runs and I would develop my knee pain. Because now I'm no longer running just a few miles. We're running up to, well, we got up to 21 miles. Well, actually 20. I don't think we ever hit 20. 21. Julie wanted to go to 20, but I'm like, 18's good. It's close enough. And we were like debating. But I just remember it just the pain got pretty bad on some of those runs. It was really cool because each time this happened, this is honest truth, I started praying. Julie's like, how are you doing? I said, my knee hurts a little bit, but I mean, I just spend some time praying. I'm praying while we're running together. And you know, each time, by the time we ended, the pain would go away. It was just like phenomenal. It was almost like unbelievable because even though when God does miracles, we're still almost like, I don't believe this. But this lesson I learned from this, lesson number 7, our miracle isn't always instant, but maybe a process to build our faith. I'm so glad that I got healed that way because my faith, it just increased immeasurably because God said, okay, if I healed you, are you really going to believe that I healed you? Or every time you go through something little, are you going to say, well, I guess I wasn't healed. Oh, sorry. I guess I wasn't healed. I guess I wasn't healed. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to say, I guess I wasn't healed. But you know what? I just kept believing. And God showed me. There was one exception to that, too. And I have to bring it up because it's important. We had a long run, and we were doing heels. We were actually running down Orchard Knob. If you guys ever been down Orchard Knob and over to, what's it called? Anyways, we did this loop and it's all hills and it was just painful all the way. And I thought, man, Lord, it started to get fearful. I prayed and it just didn't go away. Well, so I stopped doing hills and I said, no more hill work for our training. I'm just going to do flat. So we did flat. And then March 16th or 17th, we went on a special weekend where we were going to do a couple things. We did something called the Shamrock Run. There's like thousands of people in Portland. You get to run through downtown Portland. It's so much fun. But we did a 15K, and I ran the whole thing and race speed, and it's hills. You actually run up by OSHU, Is that how you say it? Oregon State? Anyway, but we ran up there and then ran around. And that, like in a car, it doesn't seem like nothing. When you run that, it seems like a lot. But anyways, and I finished, there was absolutely no knee pain. God had healed me. And I was challenged to believe by faith, not by sight or feeling. And that was lesson number 8. You can never let our feelings get in the way of what we know to be true. That's huge. Huge. We don't walk by sight or feeling. And it's so important that we don't walk by what we're feeling, because our feelings will mess us up big time. And that was something that the Lord taught me through that. We can never let our feelings get in the way of what we know to be true. And so I was so excited after that. It was a few weeks away, and we're going to be running our marathon. And I was just kept saying, Lord, I'm gonna. After I finish this marathon, I'm going to write my first blog. I'm not a blogger. My wife is, and she's a pretty good blogger if you want to follow her, Simply Julie. Anyways, but I said, Lord, I'm going to write a blog. I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to tell everybody how the only reason I could run a marathon is because you healed my knee. And so got up to June 1st, 2013, Newport Marathon, the same one she had run the year before. So I was like, under 4 hours was my goal. I did it in 3 hours, 59 minutes, and 20 seconds. I know. And it was funny because, yeah, thanks. I got to the end and I didn't know if I was going to make it or not, because I was like delirious. It's hard to explain, but I was like delirious. So I couldn't tell what the time said. There was people yelling and screaming for me, but all it sounded like was like hollow noise, because I was like at the end, I was just out. So I got to the finish line and I collapsed. And it wasn't because I wanted to. My legs were done. They were like, okay, you got to the end, you're done. And I collapsed. The guy caught me and goes, you can't stop here. I'm like, I can't move. And he's like, what? And they grab me and they take me off the side and they put me in one of those beds, start filling me with the stuff. And I'm like, did I make it? Because I never want to do that again. I mean, that was my exact words. I never want to do that again. And Julie's like, I don't know. I didn't see what time you came in and blah, blah, blah. So when we found out it was that, I was like, yeah, I never have to do that again. And the lady's so funny, she goes, oh, that's what they all say, sir. You'll be wanting to run one again. She was right. I ran Portland this year. Glutton for punishment. But anyways, so God healed my knee. I wrote this blog. It was really cool. I wrote this blog, and I'm not a blogger, but we had a lot of our friends. And you know what? It wasn't just our friends, Christian friends, but the friends that we had developed over the last year and a half, that we started running for. One of them, actually, everyone calls him the atheist. That's his name in the running community. And he read this. He goes, you know what? That was and the whole thing is just giving God glory for how he healed me. And it's just really, all things are possible with God. And he's like, you know what? I really liked your blog. It was just really cool. But it was just, I was so excited. I'm like, look, God, I did this, and I'm telling everybody, you healed my knee. I have this blog, and people are reading it, and they're sharing it with everyone. This is so cool. Thank you, God. And he says, speaks to my heart and says, this is not why I healed you. That is when ZioFit was birthed. There's so much more. I want you, see all these relationships we built you to? We've been helping with the cross-country team for the last 3 years, Julie and I, helping coach the cross country team. Obviously, that has been a big connection. We've been connected in the running community. We've been connecting with timers and just all that. And he says, that is why I want you to reach out to the running community. I want you to be a missionary to runners, because you know what? A lot of them see a need for physical health, but you know what? Spiritually, they need me. They need to know who I am, and that's what I want you to do. And let me tell you something, that was a hard thing for us, because being in a place where you love working with teenagers, you love doing what you're doing, and you have a paycheck every week, and he says, okay, I want you to be a missionary. And you know, I kind of got in my idea, maybe as a missionary, all these people will give us money and we'll still be able to do that, because we have missionaries come all the time. Well, it doesn't really work that way. There's a long period of time where you're going from a paycheck to no paycheck. And so we had to trust the Lord. And I had to take these lessons I learned and say, okay, am I really going to believe what you showed me I need to believe, the Lord? Am I really going to step out and do what you called me to do, or I'm going to stay where it's comfortable? And if I would have stayed, I don't think that that would have been wrong in the fact that I'm doing what I'm doing, but I think it would have been wrong because God had called me to do something different, called us as a family to do something different. So we stepped out. And through that process, we started sharing it with pastor friends of ours in prayer because you know what? I didn't know if I really wanted to step out. I knew that I needed to, but I didn't know if I wanted to, which is, you know, a big difference, isn't it? Sometimes we know what we need to do, but doing it is a total different thing. And it was a process. And it was a year process that God started building this in our minds, saying, okay, I mean, in our hearts, saying, okay, not only did I call you, but now I'm going to start preparing you to leave. And June of this year, we resigned at our church. So in 3 months, which August 31st was our last, we had the summer, we were going to be in a position we've never been in before. And so we resigned, and August 31st was our last week, and it was hard. It was hard, but we knew that we were doing what God called us to do. We knew without a doubt that we were in God's will rather than our own will. So it was a phenomenal, phenomenal experience for us, and we've been going through that. And you know, as you'll notice, some of you might have noticed in the back, there's some information that shares kind of a little bit about what we're doing. And through this journey, I'm going to share this real quick, and then I'm going to finish the story. God, well, I said he was developing these things, and then he developed in our heart, you know what? I really want you to be a missionary to runners, but you know what? I felt I want to help the church get fit in the physical aspect. I don't want to just, because you know, a lot of times we know we're spiritually we're healthy, but sometimes we don't take care of our emotion or our physical bodies, and it's important. Because really, this church is great, and it's great that we have this great facility to worship in, but this is not the temple of God. This is the temple of God. And so that was another thing that he inspired for us. So we want to help churches with programs. We have a bunch of things that we do. Julie does running groups, health challenges, Bible studies that have to do with our physical health. We're training to be personal trainers. Not because the physical is what's so important, but it's because the whole of who we are is created by God is important. And so we're doing that. And then also pastors. God's given us a heart for pastors and a connection. We're part of a organization called Fit Pastors, and what we do is we train pastors in that area. We help them. We coach them online. Matter of fact, we're in training right now in January. It'll be our first coaching huddle that we'll get. We'll get our own group of pastors all over the nation that will be coaching them, teaching them some principles to help them in this area of their life. And it's just taking off. You can go to fitpastor.com and look at it, and it's just a phenomenal program. And the thing is, that a study done by Pew and Pulpit Magazine found out that 76% of pastors are overweight or obese. Wow. But anyways, that's what God's put on our heart. So how does this relate to this whole thing with audacious faith? Well, the bottom line is, when God is involved, and this is so awesome, impossible doesn't exist. Impossible doesn't exist in God's vocabulary. And that, for us, that's just kind of like, what? But it doesn't. Because God doesn't know impossible. It doesn't exist for him. Because there's nothing that God can't do. But here's the important thing. But without God, impossible is ever present. It's ever present. It's always there for us, around us, impossible. Philippians 4:13, we'll read a couple verses real quick. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things. Matthew 9:26, Jesus speaking. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. So since all things are possible with God and impossible doesn't exist, Joshua prays an audacious faith prayer based on God's promise. This is so cool. So we go down to Joshua 10. I told you the story. Now Joshua 10, on the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed this prayer. Now, everybody was fleeing. They were getting away. God was doing hailstones. But it was starting to get to the point where Joshua realized that if the sun goes down, they're going to be able to hide and we're not going to be able to find them. So this is what he says. Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people of Israel. He said, "Let the sun stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Aihon, so that the sun stood still and the moon stayed in place until the nation of Israel had defeated its enemies." Now think about how audacious that faith is. A faith that nobody ever even thought of praying that before. But he knew that God had told him not one will stand. But he knew they were getting away. And so he prayed something. And check this out, he not only prayed it, but he prayed it in front of everybody. Have you ever prayed something that was never could happen, but you prayed it in front of everyone? Because sometimes I'm going to pray for this, and if it happens, I'll tell everyone how awesome God is. But how about praying it where everybody knows? So if it doesn't happen, guess what? It's on us. Just think if Joshua would have prayed that and the sun would have kept on moving. It's just phenomenal to think about that. That inspires me so much to know that someone that went before me, somebody that God had called to do something that was totally out of the box, totally not, that nobody's ever seen it before. It was a miracle. And he prayed it anyways in front of everybody, and guess what happened? The sun had stopped. It said that has never, ever happened since then. Before or since then, it has never happened. So I'm going to end with this. God wants us to have an audacious, bold, daring, fearless, extremely original faith like Joshua had. And check this out. We need to develop sun stand still prayers and seek a clear sense of purpose regarding what God wants us to do through our lives that is activated by an audacious faith and will mark our lives with the miraculous, empowering us to achieve the impossible and put us right smack dab in the middle of a move of God. I believe that, and I believe that for you. I believe that for us as the church, if we're willing to do these things, God's going to do some amazing, amazing, amazing things. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to know who you are and to be able to, if we're willing to listen to you, to know that you're going to do some miracles, some impossible things in our lives that we would never expect. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless this congregation, this church family, Lord. I pray that you would be blessed through their giving, through their loving, through their willing to step out in boldness, Lord. God, I just pray, Lord, for your will to be done and your glory in your church, Father. We love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Will you thank Jerry for sharing with us this morning? An amazing word, and it's funny, it reminds me of something that the Lord spoke to me before having to step out, and he said it's not our job to heal or to create the miracle, it's our job to be obedient and to pray and to trust in him and allow him to then do the miracle that he wants to do in and through our lives. An amazing word, and I love having Jerry come because, you know, you hear me share every week, you know, talking about following Jesus, talking about being obedient, talking about taking that step. And I love, it's funny, I didn't realize I had done 16 years in youth ministry. He had done 17, you know, and just the connection in that of this heart and love for youth and wasn't looking for anything else but how the Lord came along. And the interesting thing is, it was about a 5-year process for us where the Lord began to change us and things begin to happen. And it's this process that God begins when you don't even realize it. He could be working in you right now things that he is calling you to do tomorrow, okay? And it's that willingness to say yes to Jesus, whatever he asks you to do. Because I know for me and I know for Jerry, I think would have loved to just stay in that comfortable job, you know, where you knew you were going to get a paycheck, you know, as opposed to having to step out and really follow and do what God's called you to do. And so it's great to hear that and to be encouraged by that and the fact that God is continuing to challenge us to just follow him, to listen to what He's telling us to do, to live His will for our life, not our will. Because our will, when we do our things, we're going to fail. But when we follow His will, we will see miracles through our audacious faith. Amen?